for amber waves of grain in the fruited plain. Thank American farmers. That may sound counterintuitive to say that in the days of soaring food prices and shortages, but actually, without the American farmer and without the American rancher, we would be living in a world of scarcity today, and America would not be what it has become. Let's take a look. This is Beyond the Cover with your host, Gary Benoit, and today we have with us a senior editor for the New American Magazine, Rebecca Terrell. Rebecca, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gary. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you. Now, in the June 13 issue of the New American Magazine, you wrote an article entitled, "For Amber Waves of Grain in the Fruited Plain, Thank America's Farmers." What is the spirit behind that title? What are we thanking American farmers for?
We're actually thanking American farmers for almost everything that we use in our daily lives, as well as this great country that we have. Without farmers and ranchers, we would never have become the country that we are today, and we certainly wouldn't be able to survive beyond nomadic hunter-gatherer subsistence. So I think it was a lot of fun to research this article, and because it was amazing to discover all of the things that we use in our daily lives that originated on a farm or ranch. And you don't ever sit down and think about this, you just take these things for granted. But it's not just the food on your table that comes from a farm. It's the clothes on your back, the actual table that you eat, where you eat dinner, that comes from a tree farm if it's made of wood. The detergents that you use, the toiletries that you use, the car that you drive, so many of the materials that make up our automobiles come originally from farms, the raw materials that make it possible for us to live the lives that we live today. So we really need to appreciate farmers for what they do for us and how they make our standard of living possible.
Now, America has been, over the years, a very prosperous country, and of course, farmers and ranchers have a lot to do with that. But today we see shortages, such as with baby formula. Indications are that those shortages, not just with baby formula, but for other food products, could be getting a lot worse. Prices are soaring at the grocery store. What responsibility, if any, do American farmers and ranchers have to do with this?
Yes, I talked with a rancher out in California who specifically gave the meatpacking industry as an example of what's going on here. He said that the ranchers are not getting those higher profits from all those higher prices we're seeing in the supermarkets on our meat. It is the meat packers, which the mom and pops have been regulated out of business by our federal government. And the meatpacking industry is basically almost a monopoly controlled by, he said, about three or four meatpacking conglomerates. And they're the ones who are setting these prices and getting the profits. And we've seen this trend all throughout our regulatory history. We have to remember the United States Department of Agriculture was the very first of the federal bureaucracy. And we just actually celebrated, to use the term loosely, the 160th anniversary of the United States Department of Agriculture. It was Abraham Lincoln who signed that into law in 1862. Which is unbelievable that that's how far back our federal bureaucracy stretches. But ever since then, and Congress gave that agency such a wide scope of authority that it could regulate interstate commerce, and it does. It restricts farmers now on how much they can produce on their own farms based on a wide variety of regulations. That farmers are even restricted on how many crops they can grow to feed their own livestock, which is absolutely ridiculous. Supposedly, the reason is to protect interstate commerce. If you grow too much of your own resources, you are not buying enough resources from other people. It's ridiculous. But This is the kind of regulation, and we've seen this regulation in other areas too. In transportation, it was supposedly the antitrust regulations that were going to protect train traffic. They effectively shut down the small mom and pops and allowed the big railroad lines to basically establish monopolies. Then trucking came in. The same thing happened with trucking. Then airlines came in. The same thing happened with airlines. With farming, it's the same scenario where these mega farms now, I mean, everybody worries that Bill Gates owns the most farmland in America out of anybody else, and all of these huge million-acre mega farms that can easily shut down our food supply if they pull the plug. Now, and we have these monopoly situations that have come about because of regulations that have been in effect for years and years and years. People credit the 19th century, the 18th, the 20th century with the dawn of all this federal bureaucracy, but it actually happened in the 19th century.
Right, and of course that's when it started, but it's gotten progressively worse. But a lot of people, I am sure, who are against monopolies see that as a byproduct of laissez-faire or a byproduct of free enterprise, but actually it's a byproduct of government, is it not?
It certainly is. It absolutely is. And all these impending food shortages that people are talking about now, and the media is starting to rumble with all of this. We really have set ourselves up for this food catastrophe perfect storm. And it is not because of farmers at all. It's because they have been shackled by all of the regulations that our federal government puts on them. And they're ridiculous regulations. They're in the name of things like, out in California, they're battling regulations about wolves because wolves are on the endangered species list. So farmers cannot protect their own livestock from wolf attack. They will be fined. They can even be imprisoned for for defending their livestock against wolf attack. They're shutting down farms and restricting irrigation for tiny little bait fish out in California. And that's been going on since 2014, or actually longer than that. And the reasons that they have for all of this interference with agriculture are completely insane and illogical. Again, we've got to do something about this. We have got to start breaking down this federal bureaucracy. We've got to elect people into Congress who will realize and recognize that every single agency in the federal bureaucracy, especially the Department of Agriculture, is completely unconstitutional. There is no basis in the Constitution for any federal involvement in agriculture, in health, education, any of these other federal bureaucracies.
Now, necessarily, Rebecca, when you wrote an article, or when you wrote your article about American farmers and ranchers, you had to deal with the regulatory bureaucracy. There was no way you could write such an article without doing that. But actually, that's really not where the main focus of your article is. And in terms of the main focus, your article appeared in the Department of the New American called Faith, Family, Freedom. And in the research for your article, you talked to quite a few farmers and ranchers. So, going beyond the article itself, could you basically explain what it was like to talk to these farmers and ranchers? Because you're not a farmer or rancher yourself, but what was it like? And how do their occupations and their lifestyle and whatnot, their work ethic, their faith, how does that compare to the spirit of this column, Faith, Family, Freedom?
Well, it was very interesting and very inspiring to talk to them. And I actually do have some agriculture in my background as
Oh,
well.
really?
My father grew up on a farm and helped run it until he got married and moved away. And then I also in my younger days worked on a farm myself, breeding horses.└ and training horses. So I did. It was nice to talk with people who do it every day and do it for a living, because the things that they said are so true. When you work on the land and when you work with plants and with animals every single day, you are connected to God's creation in a very special way, and you see, you become very. It inspires your faith because you see God's handiwork and how He puts those raw materials there for us to foster and for us to be good stewards of. And all of this talk about farmers, you know, as if they're enemies of the environment, nothing could be further from the truth. The farmer and the rancher are. They are the best caretakers, the best stewards of the environment. If you own something and you're cultivating something, you are going to take much better care of it than some bureaucrat in Washington or some environmentalist at the Sierra Club, because you know your livelihood, your future, and your children's future depends upon it. I was talking with Debbie Bacigalupi, who is a rancher out in California, and she mentioned that farming makes you see God every day because you deal with life and death every day on the farm. And you really, really do. You're constantly, you're growing, you're reaping, you're harvesting, and then you go through that cyclical cycle of that our earth witnesses every year, winter to spring to summer to fall. And it was when families grow up on a farm, they pass that hardworking ethic on to their children. And that's why you see these farms that go from generation to generation to generation, because it is a beautiful life. It's a hard life, but it's a beautiful life, and it's very fulfilling. It's very rewarding. We just need to that I interviewed also Rhonda Ross, who a number of years ago started an organization called Thank a Farmer, because she realized that children in the cities don't understand how much we owe to farmers and ranchers for everything that we have around us in our daily lives. And she goes to county fairs and all sorts of activities where children are, and she hosts these magic shows. So she puts on a little magic show that educates children about, like, for instance, a baseball has wool inside of it and the outside is cowhide. But all of these little magic tricks that she does, the magic happens when children in the audience shout, "Thank a farmer!" Then the magic trick happens. And that's the way she relates to the children, because children love magic tricks.
It's really neat. And I wonder too if for people in the city, she has to point out to the kids, food does not originate at the grocery store.
Right. And she said that it is amazing how many people actually believe that, not just children. She said it's very, very revealing to her when she's conducting one of her shows. And she watches the parents in the audience, and when she starts talking about things around the house that come from farms, the parents start shaking, nodding their heads, like, "Wow, I never thought of that." But yeah, we really do depend upon farmers and ranchers for pretty much everything we have. So we just need to respect them, and the way that we can respect them is to get the federal government off of the backs of the farmers and let them do what they do best. And that's taking care of us.
Well, the whole premise, I would say, for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, as you point out, goes all the way back to the time period of the war between the states. But the whole premise is to regulate the American farmer, and supposedly out of that we would have better agriculture, we'd have better farming. But the founding fathers had a very different view, did they not? There's no power in the Constitution to allow the government to regulate the American farmer.
That's exactly right. And there's a reason for that. And we're seeing it today. If bureaucratic regulation were so great, why do we have these just spiraling food prices that we have now? Why do we have forecasts of food crisis and famine that are global? Why does the United States of America, supposedly the strongest nation on earth, Why are we dependent upon all of these other nations for exports? We shouldn't be. We are self-sustaining. We have the fisheries, we have the Great Plains of the grains, we have the ranches with cattle, we have fowl production, we have citrus, we have everything that we're self-sustaining or should be. And the reason that we are not self-sustaining is not because we don't have farmers to produce those things. It is because we have bureaucrats in Washington preventing the farmers from producing.
Final question, Rebecca, but based on the people you talk to, what do you think they could accomplish if we got rid of the regulations? It really is amazing when you compare the United States to the rest of the world that even today, how prosperous we are. But could you describe a world where we get rid of these regulations?
I think that the great dreams of all these environmentalists would be fulfilled. I think that a lot of people would source their products much more locally. And we see that with the small family farmers. For instance, there's an Amish farmer in Pennsylvania who recently made headlines. Last year, the federal government shut his production down because in 2014, supposedly there were a couple of cases of disease that went back to his raw milk that he produces on his farm. These cases, there were two cases. They called it an outbreak from two cases. One was in Florida and one was in California, and they never proved how those diseases of raw, from raw milk related to his particular farm. They came in and shut down his operation and made him pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines. That kind of thing. If he truly were a danger, how could he have such a widespread customer base? He wouldn't. People would complain. He would lose customers. If you look at the small farms now that operate like his does, and you see the wide customer base that they have, that would expand and explode if we got rid of the federal intervention.
Well, thank you very much, Rebecca. And for our viewers, we encourage everyone to see your article. It really is very, very inspiring. Despite the fact, Rebecca, you do have to cover necessarily some of the regulatory hurdles farmers and ranchers have to deal with, but just a very, very inspiring article about an important part of America that often is overlooked by people who are not themselves farmers or ranchers. So, thank you very much. But in the description for this video, there will be a link to access this article.